Will you turn to the 27th Psalm? Does that make a lot of noise?
Yeah,
it'll go away. Oh, it'll go away? Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for this psalm and the Redeemer of this psalm and thy salvation that's seen in this psalm. We ask in Christ's name that you would apply this to our hearts. Cause us to hear the gospel and the power of your Spirit. Lord, bless us for Christ's sake. Enable us to worship him. Forgive us of our sins for his sake. And Lord, grant us hearing ears. We won't be enabled to hear the gospel unless you give us hearing ears. Deliver us from hearing the words of a man, the thoughts of a man, but let us hear thy word. Lord, we long to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And we pray that we might be enabled to do just that by dwelling in the house of the Lord. Now bless us for Christ's sake. Be with all your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now these obviously are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. But they're also the words of King David. And I really am going to look at them as David's words. Yes, they're the Lord's words, but I want to look at them as the words of David and the words of Todd and the words of every believer in this room, in our experience. Now, he begins by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, light is what we see by. You know, the lights are turned out. Whatever's there is there. You just can't see it. But when the lights are turned on, you see. And the Lord is my light. I love the way Paul said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Lord is my light. Now, what that means is I see everything in this light. I see everything in the light of the cross. There is no light but the light of the cross. I see who God is in the light of the cross. That's the only way I see him. The only way I see who I am, really, is in the light of the cross. That's when I see what I really am. That's how I see my sinfulness. The only way I see the world is in the light of the cross. You know, his light, we can't compartmentalize stuff, can we? It's only in his light that we can see anything. The Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Now, listen to this statement real carefully. My salvation is not in who I am. It's in who he is. So important. My salvation is not in what I do. It's in what he did. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If the Lord's my salvation, who do I got to be afraid of? What do I have to be afraid of? Nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now that is what every single believer without exception can say. The Lord's for me. I don't have anything to fear. He says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, strength is the power to do, isn't it? Strength is the power to do. The Lord is the strength of my life. And here's how Paul put it in the New Testament. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Strength is the power to do. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the power to do. In other words, if I believe, it's his power that causes it. Not my power, his power. He says in verse 2, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell." Now, David had a lot of enemies, but his enemies were the Lord's enemies too. I think of what the Lord said to Saul. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You see, if I belong to the Lord and you're my enemy, you're his enemy. If you belong to the Lord and you're my enemy, I'm his enemy. So really what David is speaking of, I don't think so much as people. Who are your enemies? Satan. Is he your enemy? Your adversary? What about your sin? Are your sins your enemies? Your deadly enemies? Well, look what he says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. They cannot win. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, armies of my sins, armies of the enemies of the Lord, armies in whatever writ way, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What, David? One thing, verse 4. One thing. This is the one thing I'm confident in. This is the one thing that I'm not concerned about armies rising up against me. My foes, the wicked, my sins. I have no fear. And here's why. One thing, and this is so important, not two things. Not two things, one thing. This is the one desire of the believer. And this is where all this confidence comes from. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, don't miss this. One thing. Now, when he's talking about dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's not talking about wanting to be in the physical temple every day of his life. He's not talking about continual church attendance. I want to be in the house of the Lord every day, every time the doors open. That's not what he's talking about. The house of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want it to be to where all God sees at all times is Jesus Christ. That's my one desire. One thing. Not two things. This is the desire of every believer. And I know I'm speaking as a spokesman for every believer. I just simply want to be found in Christ. So that's all God sees. Paul put it this way, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him when God comes looking for me. There's only one place I want to be found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And the only way I'm going to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord is if I'm simply in him. If I'm looking to myself, I can't see his beauty. If I'm looking to anything about me for some kind of comfort or assurance, I'm not going to behold his beauty. I'm not going to inquire into his temple. It's only when I see that my only standing and my complete standing and my sufficient standing is in Christ. And God looks at me and he's pleased with me. He's not looking for anything else. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. All God requires of me, I have. When the Lord gives me the grace to see that, you know what? I see the beauty of the Lord. Now, if I'm looking somewhere else, all I see is ugliness. All I see is fault. But if I'm simply in him, I behold his beauty. I inquire into his temple. I just want to be in that house with the blood over it, don't you? I want to be in the ark. Verse 5, 4, in the time of trouble. Now that word is usually translated evil. Now this is very important. In the time of trouble or the time of evil, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. For in the time of trouble. Now let's stop there just for a moment. In the time of trouble. In the time of evil. My trouble is my fault. All my trouble is my fault. If I look at myself as a victim of my troubles, a victim of something else, if I'm a victim, it's not my fault. If it's not my fault, I'm not going to look to the Lord. If it's not my fault, I'm not going to ask for mercy. Now, when he's talking about the time of his trouble, he's not talking about the time of everybody. And sometimes he says, how many there be that trouble me? Everybody's felt that way. But when he's talking about this trouble, he's not talking about the trouble of circumstances or the trouble you brought on me. My trouble is my evil. My evil. My sin. He says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I love the way it said, he'll prepare a table for me in the very presence of my enemies, my sins. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. This is what he does. He shall hide me in his pavilion. That word is actually covert. He shall hide me in his hiding place. He'll hide me in himself so that that's all there is. In the secret of his tabernacle, the intimate place of his tabernacle. His tabernacle is his body. It's who he is. In the secret of his tabernacle, that's the same word that's the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, the tabernacle that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. He shall set me on a rock. Verse 6. And now, right now, because of what he's done for me, him hiding me in his pavilion, me simply being in his body, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Now I can look in plain view at my enemies. And like I said, let me remind you, my enemies are my sins. Is that your enemy? Your sins. I can look at my enemies. My head's going to be lifted up. And I know this. If God's for me, who can be against me? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything to their charge? I can look at my enemies and say, you've got nothing to say to me. I'm justified before God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. And I can look at all my enemies round about me. And therefore will I offer in his tabernacle. You know, I'm staying right there, aren't you? I don't want to be found outside of his tabernacle in any way, to any degree. And this is where I offer my sacrifices of joy. Even my sacrifices of joy, they're only offered in his tabernacle. They only come from in him. At all times, in all my experience, I simply want to be found in Christ. And even when I'm offering my sacrifices of joy, it's only from his temple. Nothing is independent of simply being found in him. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now look what David says next. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Now here's what I want. I want to be heard. I want the Lord to hear me. I want him to recognize my voice. I want him to know me in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I cry, he hears. Isn't that a glorious thing to think that the Lord actually hears your voice in Christ? When you cry out, He hears. He hears. And this is what David wanted. He said, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. And what is it you're asking for when you cry with your voice? Mercy. Mercy. Now, if you're asking for anything else, it's questionable, to say the least. Mercy. And you know, this is what the Lord always hears, this cry for mercy. I think of Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord was on his way to the cross, and all of a sudden the scripture says, Jesus stood still. Now this is what he hears. You cry for mercy. If I cry for mercy, he hears that cry. And when you're crying, that's what you're crying for. Mercy. Mercy for Christ's sake. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, everybody ought to seek the Lord. Amen? I don't care who it is. I don't care where they're from. I don't care what continent they're in. I don't care what their ethnicity is. Doesn't matter. Everybody ought to seek the Lord. Number two, nobody does. There is none that seeketh after God. That's the indictment against our race. That's the indictment against humanity. There is none that seeketh after God. What wickedness on man's part that we wouldn't seek the living God, He who is altogether glorious. None seeks the Lord. Well, when does a man seek the Lord? Because I won't be saved if I don't seek Him. Well, look what our text says. When thou said, seek ye my face. Now, here's when somebody will seek the face of the Lord. When He says, seek ye my face. And notice, seek ye my face. I don't simply want to know stuff about the Lord. I want to seek His face, seek His presence, seek to know the living God, seeking His face. That's knowing Him, knowing who He is. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. I think of that scripture, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. Don't you want His face to shine toward you? Don't you want to see His shining face in that sense? Seeing Him in His glory and His beauty and the gospel. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, when by the grace of God you want to seek the Lord's face, you know why you want to do it? He said, seek ye my face. And isn't that a blessing of His grace that He would say to us, seek ye my face. And if He says, seek ye my face to me, I'm going to reply, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hold your finger there and turn to number 6 for just a second. This is the great priestly benediction. And look what he says. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Back to Psalm 27. David says, hide not thy face far from me. Don't leave me to myself. That's what he's saying. Don't hide your face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now this is what a true child cannot bear, for him to hide his face. Now, an unbeliever is okay with it. I mean, as long as they have their religion going on and all the mechanics of religion, they're fine. But here's something that a true believer cannot. Don't hide your face from me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Isn't that what David said? Cast me not away from thy presence. We see why he would, as far as our experience goes. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Keep it that way. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I love that. There it is again. O God of my salvation. And look what he says. When my father and mother forsake me. Now, I suppose these are the least likely persons to forsake you. But they will. They will. Anything human, it's going to be a disappointment. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Didn't the Lord say, I am the way? That's the way. Teach that to me. Don't you want the Lord to be your teacher? Where he's the one that actually teaches you. If I'm simply taught by a man, I'm really not taught. I might have some facts, but I'm not really taught. And this is what David is saying, and this is what every believer says. Be my teacher. Teach me thy way, the way of Christ, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of my enemies, my sins, I need this to be simple. I need it to be straightforward. Lead me in the path of uprightness, a plain path. Verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. Now, what is the devil called in the scripture? The accuser of the brethren. And let me ask you, deal with this as honestly as you can. I want to do the same. Anything he accuses you of, how false is it? How false is it? Whatever accusation he brings up against you, how false is it? It's true, isn't it? Whatever he brings up about you, it's true. Yet, it's a false accusation because in Christ you are justified. And every accusation he brings up against you is going to be found to be a false accusation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So it's a false accusation. And David says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. And he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is good, and he's good all the time. Now, David ends this Psalm with something I hope me and you can learn something about. Wait on the Lord. Now, you know when you'll wait on the Lord? When you don't have any place else to go. When you don't have any other options. I mean, to whom shall we go? Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe grace is only had at the feet of Christ, you know what you're going to do? You're going to wait at his feet. You're not going to look anywhere else. You're not going to go anywhere else because you really believe he is the only source. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and he shall. Be of good courage. Be encouraged. You know, beloved, don't we have reason to be encouraged? He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And he repeats himself, wait, I say, on the Lord.